access to banking, making payments and saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR, 1490 AM, second half of the Monday Financial Power Block, immediately following Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, which is all markets, all the time. But here, it's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain, news, and more. Even a little disruptive technology is...
I like the disruptive stuff.
Yes, to go along with the disruptive people at the... Now, you know how at the end of the year you're supposed to look back and it's lonely in here. What happened to everybody?
I know. 2 years ago, it was you couldn't get in the room.
Yeah.
Free to a microphone.
We had, who was the calendar girl that came in?
I have to get Alex to bring her back
still,
in. She's still going.
Yeah, we got to find Alex.
Yeah.
And we got to... We've got to find Augie and Sabine. They'll see. When Bitcoin's back above 20,000, like Tom Lee.
They'll all be in here.
And Brian Kelly. Yeah, everybody's going to want to be in here again. And we're going to be charging a cover charge to go through the front door. Darn right we are. I'm not getting sentimental here. Well, anyway, what happened this week besides my maudlin musings?
What happened?
Well, 2019 silver linings. Bitcoin set three important records, actually a fourth, which we'll surprise you with in just a little bit. You won't be surprised because actually it was revealed on the Talking Market Show, which is why you start listening at 4:05.
That's right.
And you continue until we tell you you can leave. Anyway, also in 2019, HODLers hodled more.
HODLers.
HODLers. HODL? HODLers.
HODLers.
Yeah, they hodled more. YouTube censors crypto video creator, so you guys better watch out at Talking Markets. They're out to get you. And the Apple and Google move to remove decentralized apps from their devices.
Isn't that a shame?
Well, it's money.
Tim Cook kind of, disappointed me there. I like Apple stock, so...
Yeah, that was about the only thing that was up today in the stock market. I don't know if it closed up, but it was up.
You know, when everybody's upgrading something, you just kind of, stay away. Too many upgrades.
You got more volume than you did last hour.
I don't know.
I've turned your mic down.
Yeah.
Can't have you upstaging me.
So who is this?
Who's who?
Who's this on the microphone?
This is Andy, of course. You can call him Andrew if you want, if you're into the formality of it all.
Yeah, if you're one of my old nuns.
Talking Markets, Andrew, but he's Andy here, and if you don't watch out, I'll play the old Gold Bug theme.
Gold Bug.
Gold Bug. That's more like it.
It's like some moonshine, a campfire, and you.
Yeah, look at that. I don't even
four string guitar.
I have it filed away in a folder now. Look at all those people. Anyway, most of those... I don't want to get modeling again. Anyway, so Talking Markets, we're going to get into the actual story, but you've been doing this stuff with the video cam. You know this isn't going to be... This is going to be some bill collector.
I love these.
You're live on the air. You're live on the air?
Yeah. Hello?
Hello? Huh. So the question is, did they just remain silent, or is something broken here?
Yeah. I'm going with the latter.
Or both. They were silent because they're a broken human being. Just calls into radio shows. Yeah. Listens to the
We
silence.
Had fun with that one girl called in at one time. That was a lot of fun.
No, we're used. your highlights of your radio career.
Oh, we got to call him back.
We got a wrong number from a girl once.
Sounded hot, too. She might be calling back.
All right, let's try this again. You're live on the air.
Henry, it's Augie. I finally could hear you guys.
Well, speaking of Maudlin.
Yeah.
We were missing all the voices that are no longer heard around here, and here you are now. Now, were you the person that called just a little while ago, or was that the hot woman that Andy is still fantasizing over?
Well, I'm not a hot woman, but I would say.
Okay. So how have you been?
I've been okay. The vertigo plagues me every so often, but the reason I don't drive into the theater, into the show, is because I had an experience where I ended up in the hospital, and when I was driving, and actually it was about a year or so ago when I was on your show on the Saturday show, when you had the Saturday show, and so I ended up 5 days in the hospital with vertigo symptoms.
Has it been that long since we've seen Augie?
Yeah, it has been, I guess. Wow. You're feeling better, Augie. Is that fair to say?
I feel okay. That when the vertigo hits, it's frankly miserable.
Wow, I can imagine.
Plus, with he has to come up US 41 for those of you that are listening in China.
That is nuts. Yeah.
building those roundabouts out just for Augie.
Yeah, and if it hits you in the middle of traffic, which it did that one time, fortunately, the time that I came up, I was on my way back. It was on a Saturday when you had your show, and lucky for me, I was near the blood bank.
You just stopped in there and got a fill up, huh?
So it was, luckily the curbing was low, so I let my car drift to a slow speed and aimed for the sign because the vertigo was messing up my vision.
Oh, man. I'm glad you're here, though.
I rolled to a stop in front of the blood bank. And the other irony was they were doing an inventory, so somebody saw me do that, came to a dead stop, no problem, no screeching brakes or anything like that. And they came out and they said, look, why don't you pull over here? I was able to pull over to one side a little bit. And they came out with sandwiches and so forth and then brought me inside and
took your blood.
You know, you might want to start using the term complete stop rather than dead stop.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. But I did want to mention, I did hear some of you, what you had to say, what Andy was saying in the previous show, and I was hearing and reading some things that the...
Okay, get the phone a little closer to you.
What's that?
Get the phone a little closer to you.
You're fading out.
Well, I'm speaking right, it's on my chin right now, so, yeah. What I was going to ask the question, there's supposed to be a 21 million maximum amount of Bitcoin.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
And that there's only a differential of, I don't know, 4 million or some smaller number what's out there not being bought up or whatever.
Right.
So then the argument is this the new gold? Which is what I know that feeds right into your wheelhouse, Andy.
Yep.
I would say that being the case, that makes it really pricey gold.
You know, yeah, absolutely. And you know, as a gold bug, I'm an avid gold bug. I love gold. You know, people don't understand. You got to sit on it sometimes for years. It's not something that moves quickly. I think we're seeing that with Bitcoin. And of course, when it moves, it wants to move. But trying to time every dip and dip blip in the market can often have you out when it finally breaks out, because it can break out and it can break out hard. I mean, imagine.
You're talking about BM, Bitcoin movement.
Bitcoin movement, that's right. And not bowel movements, Bitcoin movements. And, but if you're out and it moves, you can have a bowel movement and, you know, wishing you were in. So, you know.
Holy Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I'm a long-term investor. I'm in this for the long haul. And so if it pulls back in the 4,500 area again, you know, I'm not going to be crushed. I'll probably buy some more. But, you know, I think eventually it'll be a digital type of gold. I mean, we give a lot of listeners in Venezuela and Argentina and that, and that's what they use down there. I mean,
yeah.
That's
That's why we have so many downloads down there.
That's right.
Especially are talking about making it a real facility. But, of course, what is as far as what flushes you out or what is the laxative relative to Bitcoin, what is the laxative, Andy?
What is the what?
The laxative that unplugs the valve.
Yeah, you gotta take some. You gotta take some Metamucil with that thing.
go natural, Augie. Really, just go natural.
Buy wheat futures.
let's move on a little bit. Hey, I've
got news for you. He sounds good.
Well, Bitcoin was, in fact, anything but bearish this year. It's actually, you know, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's up still 70-80%, you know.
As new data shows, its technical strength has reached levels never seen before. An examination of three metrics, Bitcoin's transaction count, U.S. dollar transaction volume, and hash rate, confirms the largest cryptocurrency firmly feet off bearish sentiment this year. This is, it's not wishful thinking, but it's a little.
Definitely twisting the data.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try and cultivate a state of cognitive dissonance,
mm-hmm.
and I find I get through life much better that way. Just, I believe everything.
Yeah.
And I can go with any situation then. But I guess these people are going with this situation. The Bitcoin network, that is, processed more transactions. This network did not process more transactions here in 2019. Transactions are down a little bit on the WWPR network here. Not that I'm saying anything in particular. The Bitcoin network processed more transactions in 2019 than during any other year. Data compiled by industry analytics showed that May 2019 was the busiest month ever. Isn't that when it took off this year?
Yeah, it was pretty much when it started to skyrocket.
With almost 12 million transactions. December 2017 is now in second place with still over 11 million. So we had, and we here in the studio, we have the benefit of a graph
chart
that shows the December 2017 peak and then the May peak. And then we have some pretty high volume, and then the last month it just cuts itself in half.
Pretty, yeah.
So what else is good about Bitcoin? Well, with more transactions has come more value. In terms of the dollar, blockchain notes, that's the source of this, notes the Bitcoin network moved more value than ever before this year. That actually is significant because you're moving more value at a lower price than in 2017. This included a spike above $4 billion. Now, it doesn't say if this is the real volume or the fake volume that we've talked about previously.
Right. Well, if you're moving it, then that would be real.
Right. Well, I mean, and if it's as long as you're being consistent with your 2017 fake volume or real volume, then you're still true. This included a spike above $4 billion in a single day in late July, coinciding with an exodus from derivatives exchange business.
Exodus.
We have more of BitMEX for you later in the show, not too far from now. And finally, the hat trick of the metrics that the hash rate, Cointelegraph has reported throughout 2019, Bitcoin hash rate continues to hit new heights. Hash rate is an indicator of the amount of computing power miners are willing to dedicate to processing transactions. Well, it's that, but it's also the amount of processing that's going on, too.
Absolutely.
Despite a reduction, they might be willing to dedicate a lot more, but if they don't have anything to transact, it doesn't reach that hash rate. Despite a reduction in price and therefore minor profitability, and that is not M-I-N-O-R point, not small profitability, the minor profitability, the miners are less profitable.
The prospectors.
Yes. The whoever wrote this that I copied and pasted from needs a little bit more command of the language here. It's probably being done in the Ukraine or someplace like that, Belarus. Their commitment continues to grow, data suggests. And then finally, skew markets. And you know,
skew
when skew markets talks.
Yeah, you got to listen.
Yeah. the Henry Rain Show listens, noted in his annual summary earlier this month, Bitcoin futures and derivatives are among the year's new success stories. Now, this is really two different things that they've thrown this in here. It's at the end of the story. We have the three things that are actually, you know, somewhat significant. The dollar volume, I think the hash rate is the most important thing. I'll tell you why in a second. And then the thing about the derivatives market is almost irrelevant to this story. It's important if you got futures, but because they're not really trading Bitcoin.
No, not until now. Bitcoin. Until now.
Well, supposedly they can do Bitcoin settled, but they've already started to create even BACT, B-A-K-K-T, the organization that was launching the Bitcoin settled futures, has moved to have cash settled futures. Because there's more people that just want to bet cash on the movement of Bitcoin than actually want to receive any Bitcoin. Are you still on the line?
Excuse me.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you're still there.
I was going to ask a couple questions.
Well, hang on. Let me finish my point here. So anyway, but the thing about the hash rate that I find the most significant is always, you know, in the previous show, and we'll have that up on the podcast sometime in an appropriate length of time. Maybe I don't want to promise, but by tomorrow for sure. Anyway, your pick of the week was Bitcoin Cash. And, of course, the whole reason for existence of Bitcoin Cash is because Roger Ver and his allies wanted to make sure that they had a cryptocurrency that could meet the transactional demands of cryptocurrency. And, well, that probably really wasn't a problem in need of a solution, because it turns out we've got more transactions going on on the Bitcoin blockchain than we ever imagined we could. The hash rate is higher than we ever imagined it could. So really, Bitcoin can do all those things. Plus, if you look at Ethereum, the smart contracts, et cetera, now there's a side chain on for Bitcoin that can do what Ethereum does. So it goes to one of the things that you talk about a lot on Talking Markets with Mark and Andrew, the altcoin market. I am even more pessimistic than I am of many markets of the altcoin market at this time. And
you're not buying Pi Coin?
Mars Coin is it, man.
Yeah, Mars Coin, there you go.
So, and actually you have a lot of these exchanges now just dropping the coins, and they're disappearing. So, Augie, you wanted to ask a question, or you had a statement? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's the limitation of the total is depending on the cost of mining, which is the problematic area, right? The cost of mining is the cost for yourself.
Well, it's all relative. You know, it's just like supply and demand. You have, let's say you have 1,000 miners out there, and they're all going for it. If Bitcoin price remains above 10,000 and your mining costs are on average 5,000, you're making money. You're all making money. But as Bitcoin comes down, say it goes below that 5,000, well, some miners are making money, some aren't. So it's an average cost. And the ones that aren't making money go offline, which then allows the ones that are to gain more market share of that. So I think it's a supply and demand thing.
Well, and then you have the capital expenditure market, because there's constantly newer and faster mining rigs that come online, and you know they're always constantly judging the productivity versus the capital cost. Mm-hmm. And what else we have besides the capital cost? Oh, we got electricity.
Yeah.
And we're finding people starting mining operations in warmer climates than we ever imagined, because the electricity is because of whatever renewable energy or inexpensive energy they're using. So there's all kinds of moving parts on this.
So as the movement of Bitcoin toward a anchoring of a currency, a physical currency, what is the value of building enough? I mean, 21 million is not sufficient to anchor behind any currency.
Remember, you can go, what is it, 9 digits? A Satoshi is...
Well, that's just arbitrary. You can go even smaller. You can go half of a Satoshi.
Yeah, so even though it's like, think of it like this. One Bitcoin is like a $10,000 bill.
No, it's like a million dollar bill.
So, you know.
Satoshi would be like a dollar bill.
Sure, so a Satoshi would be like a dollar bill. So you just can't look at that.
And then you got pennies.
That's right. So you can.
So when you, so with gold, you send one-tenth of an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And that 140, 150 bucks. So you're going to have that kind of relationship.
If you can find it for 140 and 150 bucks, 10-ounce gold pieces, I'm a buyer. Just letting you know, Augie. You have some for sale. I'm a buyer, 140 to 150.
Keep checking those yard sales.
Hey, that used to be a good place to get gold was yard sales.
You sell without charging a sales tax.
Yeah. Well, you know, if gold coins, you don't charge a sales tax on because it's actual currency.
Oh, really? I bought a gold coin recently.
I thought it was a commodity.
Not if it's a designated U.S. currency. So once you get like a 1 ounce eagle is a $50 gold piece. So it actually has a denomination by the U.S. government. It's worth $50. You could take it into the bank and trade it in for $50. 1 ounce gold piece.
I'd love you at the bank.
So because it's denominated. There is no sales tax. Now if you're buying gold bars or something like that, collector's items, then yes, there's sales tax on that.
Okay.
And it depends on your state, too, so you just got to kind of know what state you're in. And, you know. But they can't charge you sales tax on currency. That's why I like the 90% silver. I like the, you know, pre-33 gold. You know, and of course, modern gold as well.
All right. Well.
We've got to talk one-on-one, Andy, or one of these.
Absolutely, Augie.
Right. Well, another milestone. I said there was going to be a fourth milestone.
Okay.
This you may not really look at as a bullish or bearish movement. This is like, why didn't I think of this first kind of movement? BitMEX closes out the year nearing $20 billion in total liquidations on its Bitcoin futures contract. As the price of Bitcoin balanced at key support around 7,200, despite the situation across the board in 2019, Bitcoin traders still hold faith in a bullish reversal. I think that the actual turn of the century kind of vernacular, especially at the home of John Ringling down the road, who partnered with P.T. Barnum,
yep.
There's a sucker born every minute, and they're on the BitMEX futures market.
If you're trading 200-1 on BitMEX, you may want to call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Contract liquidations soared by over 20% in 2019 from the figure recorded in 2018 to top $19.9 billion over the course of the year, with the leverage ratio averaging a conservative 25-1. Close to $800 million in trader funds were liquidated. So really, although the nominal amount was $20 billion, the traders only lost $800 million of the money they had on there.
Yeah.
And is Arthur Hayes the guy that started BitMEX? Because the article says Arthur Hayes must be a happy man closing out the year in such profit.
Wow. $800 million.
Well. And then BitMEX were heavily impacted. The bulls were heavily impacted by the bloodshed. No, it's not bloodshed.
I like how Bitcoin pulls back 200 bucks. It's bloodshed. It rallies 200 bucks. It's rocking.
You lose 800 million is bloodshed.
Yeah, bloodshed. 800 million. Yeah.
Anyway, 12.7 billion worth of Bitcoin. Long contracts were liquidated, which makes almost two-thirds of all the liquidations for people that were the optimistic longs, and the other approximately third. They were all liquidated in the final 6 months of the year. Well, would that make sense? Because it turned downward about 6 months ago. And hope sprung eternal with the longs, and they rode that all the way down.
Buy it, and you don't have to worry about getting liquidated.
Yes.
Just ride to zero.
And meanwhile, BitMEX. Pardon me? Anyway, Augie, are you still there?
I'm here, yes.
Okay, so we had something weird, very strange come across your line there. Anyway, the BitMEX cryptocurrency exchange now holds, let's just round it, to 0.2% of all Bitcoin. So if there's 21 million bitcoins, as Augie pointed out. And so 1% would be 210,000 bitcoins. And if they have one-fifth of that, they have about 40,000 bitcoins. That no, is
0.2% or 0.02?
0.2. Oh, you're right. It's not 2%.
So if there's 15 billion out there, 15 billion, what, how much out there, 18 billion? Million right now?
Well, let's just say 20. This is based on there being 21
okay,
million.
Okay, so 21 million, so it would be 420,000 Bitcoin.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. 2%?
Well,
20%?
It's 0.2%.
Yeah.
Yeah, 0.2, right.
Wait, did you say 0.2% or was it
0.2%?
0.2 of all Bitcoin.
Well, that would be
0.2% of all Bitcoin. 1% of all Bitcoin
of all
would be
Bitcoin, so that's that would be they hold 20% of all Bitcoin. Or is it 0.2?
That's a decimal point right there.
Okay, so it's 0.18% of all Bitcoin. Now, that's not very much. GTBC holds more than that.
Well, see, this is what they just keep in their insurance fund.
Oh.
In case they can't liquidate enough people. second paragraph, BitMEX holds 33,000 Bitcoin.
Yeah,
according to historical records, the balance of the fund has grown from 20,000 Bitcoin on January 1st to 33,000. It's like they liquidate and just need some place to put it.
Yeah, right?
Hey, just put it over here in the corner.
Yeah.
We'll get around to it. All right, so when does BitMEX have their IPO?
Yeah, right.
Let's see. The insurance fund is used to avoid auto deleveraging in traders' position and alleviate unfulfilled liquidation. So, in other words, they just keep the insurance for the people that weren't on the wrong side of the bet, that they don't get liquidated, too.
Yeah. They don't get that clawback. What was that, OK Exchange that did that?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, major crypto exchanges like Poloniex, if that's still considered major, Kraken, Bitstamp, BitMEX, actually, they have continued to accumulate crypto in 2019 and are the biggest hodlers of Bitcoin. So, like again, we said, the house always wins.
Yeah.
They're accumulating. Now, one of the interesting things is I read those names off, Poloniex, Kraken. Kraken bought the over-the-counter
Circle,
market,
right?
Yeah, which owned Poloniex. So Circle, that great investment by Goldman Sachs and others that was entrusted to Jeremy Allaire, who used to be seen on CNBC a lot,
yeah,
has been, speaking of liquidations, they were having fire sales on their assets. And
they stuck a couple hundred million in that, didn't they?
Pardon me?
They stuck a few hundred million in that, wasn't it? Goldman?
I guess. I mean, and yeah, all this stuff had huge market caps at one time. Well, so Bitcoin. Oh, I think that was I don't know if that was my headset echoing back.
That was
or,
me
or
too,
or
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I didn't say a word.
No. You see, it happens automatically. Your radio waves are just going around in circles. Never saw a bear market in 2019, according to this, and that, which is what these previous articles. So they close out the year telling everybody everything's okay. You're still up for the year if you started at the low point, which is pretty much a given on any market. You start at the low point, you're probably okay. Anyway, the Bitcoin hodlers, uploading a chart, the analysts revealed that short-term price action has failed to turn the 200 moving average.
Nothing.
Well, this reassures people. You don't go with the 200-day moving average?
No.
Is that the 200-week moving average, though, right?
Now, that's even nuts. That's like going back, 6 years. I mean, really?
200.
Yeah. 700-week moving average.
And if you feel bad about it today, just wait 4 years from now.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. All right. And then they have a chart. So, yeah, I put this in the rundown for all those listening and caring. I was like, I would have thought it broke the 200-day moving average by now, going from 14,000 down to
7,000. You can always extend it out. Oh, yeah. It hasn't broken the 400 yet.
The 10-year moving average.
Yeah.
It's looking good. But it actually is, you know, you really can go
any
2-year period and you're going to look pretty good on Bitcoin so far. If
well,
nothing else changes.
You know.
Let's go to a break, and we will come back and see where the remainder of this cryptocurrency year takes us. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Bite Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Bite Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Bite Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Bite Federal ATM near you. Go to BiteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's BiteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
It's on the way out. It's on the way out. It's on the way out.
Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. And good to hear Augie back on the line, and if not in the studio. And wishing Augie and, of course, all of you a very happy new year coming up here in just a couple of days. And speaking of the new year, we must remind you that the IRS has new guidelines for your cryptocurrency tax reporting. And you want to be smart about this. You want to, now, not to say that I'm smart just because I did this, but it was a smart thing to do. To go to Crypto Tax Man, you've heard him here, Josh Sands, and let him help me with my reconciliation of my capital gains and/or losses, but luckily gains this year. And that is CryptoTaxMan.us is where you can get a hold of Josh Sands. That's the website, CryptoTaxMan.us, and you can also find him on Facebook at Facebook.com/CryptoTaxMan or on Instagram and Twitter, and that would be crypto_tax_man. And it's coming to be that time.
Oh, know. I know. I hate tax season.
Yeah. And, well, we already know that usually for most of us, we have a lot more crypto trades than what we think before we get started looking at it. But, you know, with talking markets and all the different things you're trading in, how do you keep track of all that?
I have a spreadsheet.
A spreadsheet?
Yeah. So I don't have to, you know, have to worry about it too much.
You've got graph paper?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember back in the day on Sundays, before all the real-time stuff came out, I used to have to go through the newspaper and tell my grandfather what his stocks were doing. And he'd write it down in a little ledger, swing into ledger paper. And that's how you found out how you were up or down. I mean, there was no, oh, I'm going to log out. Oh, yeah, I'm up to 8% today. No,
you couldn't remember what you paid for it?
Yeah, you had it all ledgered out.
And you had to convert the eighth decimal for it?
Yeah, right.
That's right, when stocks were quoted in eighths.
Eighths, yeah.
Or were they only some in eighths? Or did some have to do quarters?
Sixteenths. There were sixteenths, so, yeah.
Like it was a big stock?
Yeah. Yeah. That's when they used to split. They don't split much anymore. So now
they
you buy
reverse split.
Yeah, and many reverse split. That's not a good thing.
We want to get back on the NASDAQ. We'll reverse split. All right. Well, speaking of crying, the next story isn't a crying story, but there are some ominous stories to follow this next one. This is actually a positive story in regards to Bitcoin. Not so positive if you live in Venezuela and Argentina.
What?
But, I know, it's always sunny in Venezuela and Argentina. Bitcoin weekly trading volumes on peer-to-peer trading platform Local Bitcoins, which I will put a little aside in. That would be a decentralized application,
yeah.
Local Bitcoins. In Venezuela and Argentina have hit new all-time highs in their respective national currencies. Now, we do have some U.S. dollar numbers for this, because whenever you talk about their national currencies, even talking about a week that goes by and they hit a new record, that may not be significant. But according to the website's data, the week ending December 21st saw over 32.6 million Argentine pesos, equivalent to about $544,000, traded on the platform, or 30% more than the record registered 2 weeks before. And again, it's not clear here that they're doing that 30% more in U.S. dollars or 30% more in Argentine pesos. But there is an interesting graph here that Andy is being the eyes of the audience for, and it's
pretty exponentially up.
Yeah, it's parabolic here. What that looks like. In Venezuela, on the other hand, 248 billion with a B, bolivars, or about 24.8 million were that's quite a bit significant dollar amount, because now we are apples to apples, because that's 1 week total and they've converted to dollars for us at the time of December 21st. So you're talking about 544,000 in Argentina. Well, that's significant, but it's not changing the economy of Argentina. No. But you go and you find $24 million of Bitcoin changing hands in Venezuela in a week, in an economy that's just devastated.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant there.
It is.
That was 15.6% more than the record volume registered the previous week.
Wow.
And if you looked at the Argentina...
Looks like a wall.
Yes. The Argentina chart was a parabola moving to our most recent week. This is like a sheer cliff.
Yeah.
going upward
straight
as opposed to down. And... Anyway, the trading volumes in Venezuela have started setting records after measures taken by the local central bank to curb Bitcoin inflows. Specifically, the regulator decided to ban Argentines. How is that from buying Bitcoin with credit cards after also banning buying more than 200 per month? Wait a minute now. In Venezuela So I don't understand why we're talking Venezuela and Argentina, but that's what happens when you have a global media service that tries to span more than one language. Venezuela citizens, on the other hand, apparently use Bitcoin to escape the extreme inflation of the bolivar. No kidding. Increasing volume may also be spurred by late September reports of the local central bank that is exploring the possibilities of holding Bitcoin and Ether in its coffers. Well, not that we want to prop up the Venezuelan government, but that probably is a pretty good move if you're trying to prop your government up.
Yeah. Well, they sold all their gold.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
they were actually one of the wealthiest countries at one time with the gold allotment, and then they had it transferred from Hamburg or wherever it was, and they brought it through the streets in trucks, and they were all cheering in that, and now it's all gone.
Wow. And in one of my times going to college. I was on like a 17-year plan for my degree. But back in like 79, right before Reagan was elected and the Iranians had taken the hostages and the price of oil went crazy, I had some Venezuelan students then, so it would be the very old regime, back the old oil cartel that controlled the country. And they were studying at the University of Florida and... We're sitting around, and those of us that were dollar based were like, oh gosh, look at the price of oil going up again. And the Venezuelans was like, yes, I can buy more things.
That was part of fracking.
Oh, God bless America.
The problem with Venezuelan oil is it's very heavy oil. So it requires a lot more refining. It even requires them to dilute it, so they take solvents in there.
They were not concerned about that.
No, at that time they weren't, but they got to bring in big, huge shiploads of solvents to get it diluted enough just to transport it up to the refiners.
You know a lot about this stuff.
Yeah. Too much reading. No life.
I don't read.
Yeah. I Googled it.
Yeah. Okay. Alexa.
Alexa.
Diluting oil.
Yeah, dilution oil.
I'm gonna really break the format here, and because I've told you off here, I think, about my male cat Tommy that likes to watch YouTube videos.
Yes.
So, for the audience out there, I won't try and tell you all the things that he watches, but he really will watch like 30, 40 minutes. And he sat down to watch CNN until I turned on YouTube for him. The other day.
Torturing the cat.
I wasn't torturing. He was like, gave up. He walked by and he looked at the screen, because he does that now. He looks by, see if there's anything you want. But he was so bored, he looks and there's like some lady on CNN talking it to him. And he's like, oh, I guess I'll watch you. And he sits down in front of the screen. But the thing that blew him out of, just blew his mind, was a parrot that said, Alexa, play Rockin' Robin. And first, you know, the cat is looking at a parrot that's talking, and the parrot is getting what it wants. So, I digress.
Meow, 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 meow.
Somehow that all ties in with Venezuela and crypto.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, but as we said, reversing course, this is done on the decentralized apps of local Bitcoin. Well, all of a sudden, big tech is not liking the freedom that decentralized applications or free flow of information like videos that Talking Markets creates, yeah, although they've not been affected yet because you're still under the radar.
We have been affected, but yeah.
Yeah. For those who missed the memo, earlier this week, countless Bitcoin influencers and content creators in the crypto industry have reported that a number of their videos regarding developments in the space have been taken down. Names affected include popular Bitcoin price analyst Sonny Decree. You know, Sonny.
Yeah.
And crypto crow. How come it doesn't say Mark and Andrew?
That's right.
Henry. And
Ivan on Tech.
Crypto programmer turned educator Ivan on Tech. Ah. Wow. Some YouTube members are now reporting that they are restricted from posting videos for over a week, while some, like Nugget News, Alex Saunders has... Not Nugget News, too. How did we miss all these?
A lot of news agencies are going belly up.
No wonder we're not making money. We didn't get on the Nugget News Network.
Was it Martinez News went up, and now I got Nugget News has gone up, you know?
It's on the verge of being entirely deleted from the YouTube platform, with its receiving two content strikes in a single day. You haven't even gotten your first content strike.
No.
Well, you're not doing something right.
Something's not right there.
I can complain about it.
Unless you're CNBC, you're not getting on the air.
That's not to mention some other larger channels. Oh, I'm just going to read you some more names there, so I want to skip on down. What's going on with all these? Well, the harrowing cases of censorship in mind, the question remains, why is YouTube doing this?
It's their algorithm, I'm guessing.
This isn't the reasoning of YouTube, although they did send a tweet out. They replied to a tweet saying, oh, it's by mistake, and we're going to get it back up for you. And it got back up. Some of the people have started having their videos put back up now. Anyway, but Jake Chervinsky, a lawyer at Ethereum Decentralized Finance upstart Compound Finance, weighed in on the matter. He argued that the crackdown likely has something to do with potential violations of Security Act 17B, which is a law that requires influencers to properly disclose the compensation they have received for promoting securities. So I don't know what...
No, that would make sense.
Well, yeah, it makes sense, but what if you don't receive any compensation? You're just talking. I guess you got to say, I'm not receiving any compensation.
I'm not receiving, yeah.
Like Google and YouTube bother to watch to find out if you say that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, this would make sense, as countless cryptocurrency content creators have promoted initial coin offerings and other altcoins.
That is true.
I'm guessing the YouTube crackdown, this is Chervinsky saying, has to do with potential violations of what we just said and the anti-touting provision, which requires promoters to disclose. Anyway, it's back on.
So that's why John McAfee's going from country to country to country to country, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's not like a drug habit or anything.
No.
Or money laundering or anything like
or
that.
Or anything else.
Anyway, there's also been signs that some of the YouTubers claim to be organized complaint conspiracies against them. It's probably true.
Must be true.
And finally, at least as far as the conspiracy, crypto-related content is being re-enabled. I already told you that. And moving on to the decentralized app.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Justin Sun? What's Justin Sun doing?
Oh, well, Justin Sun says just posted on BitTorrent or BTFS. That's probably the same thing. Well, it's just on the internet forever and be yeah, like people, the 100,000 people that are finding you on YouTube will just go to BitTorrent and download whatever they are. And anyway, Google removed Ethereum-based decentralized application, a.k.a. a dApp, browser MetaMask. Have you ever used that?
Mm-mm. I've heard of it.
I think I might have used it at one time, or at least almost downloaded it and went with my Ether wallet. I could have applied the MetaMask on top of the My Ether wallet. Let's see how underground I am. From its Android application store, Apple may now force Coinbase, now you're talking big boys, to remove the dApp browser feature from its crypto wallet application. According to a Reddit post, the U.S.-based cryptocurrency exchange warned its users that in order to comply with Apple's mobile app store policy, it might be forced to remove the dApp browser feature from the wallet application. Brian Armstrong, the CEO, commented, this really is unfortunate to see. Apple seems to be eliminating usage of dApps from the app store. Presumably, this would extend to other wallets as well. And he mentioned MetaMask among others. It's beyond Coinbase and, in my opinion, a very big threat to the ecosystem. Also said the users entrusted using the dApps on Apple's mobile devices might need to ask Apple to allow such applications. Like, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They may ask. This is an important area of innovation and finance, et cetera.
So it's going to really promote Huawei phones. We're going to get a Huawei.
If we can get a Huawei. You could use SquarePay if you want to send some money. Yeah. I mean, that, I don't know if that's considered decentralized, but it's peer-to-peer. Anyway, so all these things that are sort of peer-to-peer and outside the mainstream,
booted.
Like Apple and Google are cracking down on. MetaMask was removed from Android not too long ago, and the projects team noted the reason provided for the app removal, as in MetaMask saying, hey, Google, why? That sounds like how you talk to your phone. Yeah. Google. okay, Google. Yeah. why am I deleted? They were told that because they're not allowed to have software because of their policy against mobile mining. And MetaMask was like, our software doesn't mine. And Google said?
It mines.
Google just said, silence. All right. Well, anyway, it's estimated that...
Oh, we're at the break.
What?
I've never seen such long strips in my life.
It's estimated that the decentralized application marketplace is now a $2 billion marketplace.
Oh, wow.
It's not in that thing. It's in front of the screen right now.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's pretty obscure stuff. MetaMask and when you think of how big Coinbase is and some of these other ones, just the fact that Coinbase, I guess it was a decentralized app for an exchange so that you could do like peer-to-peer in the wallet for Coinbase, and they don't want that happening. They want their piece of the action. There was an interview by CryptoMom, Hester Pierce, the SEC. She's in line to be the new SEC chairman.
Oh, wow.
And we're not going to dive through all this stuff, but they're thinking about changing the classification of accredited investor.
Oh, really?
And maybe actually making it based on knowledge. Yeah.
Imagine that.
Right. You should...
That is a great thing to do.
Before that.
Yeah.
You got knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great thing.
All right. We've managed to blow through the last Henry Rain show of 2019.
Yeah.
We will be back next Monday talking markets, followed by Henry Rain show, but it will be the first of the new decade.
That's right. No, the new decade starts in 2021.
No.
Yeah. 2021 is the first.
No, 2000 was the first year of the decade.
No.
That was the first year of the new century.
2000 was. But
well, how could it not? How could it be the first of the century and not the first of the decade?
That was the turn of it. So 2001 was the first year, 2002 second year, all the way up to 10. So you got one more year before the decade.
Well, I'll give that to you, but you can go argue with the rest of the world now and all these people that are doing.
Well, let's
the
Google
the
it. When does the decade end? We're gonna find out right now.
I'm
when does it? They even got it on here. 2020 or 2021. And the answer is, this is about unbelievable. They got 200 paragraphs. They should have just said it.
And is it in dispute? Other than here,
it's a disputed.
It's disputed. See? Yeah, I knew this would be trouble. Happy end of decade or happy last year of the new decade, whatever's coming.
Well, they even mentioned your 2000 in there.
But the new decade starts from
1901 and 2001, respectively.